With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, it is the Wendy's Big Show. And yes, it is a Kim and LaVoy Judgment Day. I'm Robbie Maclauf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, the former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. We decided to start saying hi to everybody as we came on the air. Mike Clemens, other side of the glass, along with intern Otz. I'm Robbie Maclauf. What? What do you know? What?
Stevie.
What are you going to derail the show with to open it today?
We do have a meeting tomorrow, Gary. Be careful.
No, it was canceled.
Oh, they canceled it?
Yeah.
Good thing you told me.
No, the boss told us that in our last meeting that we wouldn't be doing it.
I don't remember.
Anyways.
Yeah, and plus we got an email.
What were you asking him?
You get a haircut, Stevie?
No. I did, like, how 2 weeks ago.
How you do it like that?
It's just chill. You do it like that every day. Well, not yesterday.
A little bit more so today.
Pretty much every day.
Sparky's asking about the...
My hair flip.
I don't know what I... What would you call that? A flip?
Like a hair flip? I don't know. You just spike it up.
Yeah, a spike, like spike it up. In the front?
How you do that?
Just with gel.
You take a comb, you put some gel in it, and you
shoot.
I don't even do that.
What do you? How do you do it?
You just put it in your hands, you run it through your hair, and use your hands to stick it up, and you're done.
So you don't use a comb?
No.
Ever?
Wow.
No, it looks funky when you use a comb. You see all the line, like straight lines.
Yeah.
I used to do that. My brother made fun of me, so I stopped. I don't do it anymore.
My brother made fun of me.
Okay. He's definitely the style guy, not me. So if he tells me something's wrong, I just don't even bother with it anymore.
We got a lot to get to with you between now and 6 o'clock, including Mike Farron, host of the Power Alley on MLB SiriusXM.
Power Alley!
He also does pre and post for the D-backs. He'll join us at 2:35. And D. Orlando Ledbetter, our old friend from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, now with the Atlanta Journal Constitution. He'll tell us what he knows about Mike Budenholzer, who we found out is one of two finalists for the Bucks head coaching job. We'll talk about those two finalists at some point throughout this afternoon as well. Out of the gates, we want to know, the Brewers 25-17 at the quarter mark. Can they keep this up? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Now, doing the math, Sparky, at the quarter mark, they have 25 wins. If they keep this up, they're going to have 100 wins. I don't know if that's necessarily what we're asking, is it? We're just talking about this level of play that they've performed at.
Wait a minute, back up.
Through 42 this, games.
They what now?
If they keep this winning pace, they'll end up right around 100 wins.
Wow.
At 25-17.
Push my mic back.
42 games into the season. Did that catch you off guard? That they're doing that well?
Well, I know we were going to go to Steve Furper, but I'm just going to say this.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of gloom and doom topics about the Brewers for 2 weeks.
How happy does that make you that they're not even playing that well and they could win 100 games? Think about that.
Haven't we?
Yes.
Have we been doing gloom and doom topics for the Brewers for 2 weeks?
No question.
But also,
we even got, y'all want to fire the hitting coach.
We have.
We
want to
get rid of Braun.
We have gotten that.
Huh? We want to get rid of Braun. I don't know. If you would, Rummy, go back and do like most of our Brewer talk for the last 2 weeks, they've all been negative.
But,
And then you throw this out? Are you kidding me?
They're only negative if you imply some sort of meaning or answer in the questions that we ask. This is something that I'm constantly trying to stress to our listeners. Even if the question sounds negative, wait for the answer. Because my outlook on the Brewers has been largely positive this season.
Well, yeah, you and I, yeah. But so you and I.
And Sparky's and a lot of our listeners.
Yeah.
We do get the fire Darnell Coles calls. We get the tired Braun calls. We get the when are they going to go get a real starting pitcher calls.
Yeah.
We get those.
Yeah.
But I think overwhelmingly,
all fair points.
Overwhelmingly, I think that the reaction from us here on the show and you out there at 414-799-1250 has been positive, has leaned positive for the most part. Now, there are things to nitpick at, there are things to be negative about, but I think for the most part, Brewers fans and we here on the show and the station, for the most part, has been positive when it comes to our answers to these questions that may seem negative on the surface.
So we've been asking negative questions, but receiving positive answers.
What I'm saying is, I don't think there's such a thing as a negative question.
Well, sure it is.
Wait for the answer.
Well, sure it is. It is. Should we get rid of Ryan Braun? That's a negative question. Ain't nothing positive there.
Be positive. They got something back for him.
Okay. But that's a negative question.
I don't see it that way.
Yeah, well, I do.
Okay. Semantics.
Do you love Ryan Braun? That's a positive question.
Not if the answer is no, I hate him.
Can't
the
question. Stand him.
But that's we're what
talking,
I'm saying.
We're just talking
there
questions.
There is no such thing.
That's why I emphasize. No, no, no. That's why I emphasize question.
Gary?
I didn't say response. I said question. Take the coat off.
Right.
Question.
Gary, going forward, for the rest of the month, we're going to have Will pitch Brewers topics.
Yeah.
You're going to phrase the question. Because
no,
you know what?
No.
No, because you're right. Because that's how Tim does. Tim and I, when we did post-game shows, Tim thinks a lot about the question he's going to ask and how it sounds before he asks it. And there is something exactly to what Gary is saying about you can make a question sound positive or negative based on how you word it. You can get the same question, just changing the wording.
Yeah, just a question.
And by nature, as we all know, I'm very negative. So when I phrase it, it's gonna come across negative.
Don't do that to
by
yourself.
Nature, Rami is very negative about life.
That's
so
not true.
It will all,
that's not true at all.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it is. About it's life. Very, about yeah, you life. Are,
that is not true at all.
Pretty
yeah,
much.
You are.
Not true.
Yeah,
you are.
But
at all.
Don't need to argue. So that's more along the lines of where Rami is. Gary is probably the most happy, positive guy amongst the three of us.
Because I'm going to die in 5 years. That's why.
What?
Well, I mean,
is that negative positive?
That's the most negative thing you can possibly say.
It seemed pretty positive to me. That's longer than I thought. But I mean, from
I guess it all has to do with the delivery.
Right.
I'm going to die in 5 years.
So I think this is good. So we'll have Gary come up and phrase the brew questions for the next couple of weeks, and let's just see how it goes. Because I think he's 100% correct. I think it does come across negative quite a bit. I would agree. Yes.
So
but
is this,
even if you look at our social network, though, all our Facebook stuff.
Well, I can't control
Twitter
all
stuff.
Of that. I can
no,
only
no, no,
control
no.
our show.
I'm just saying the people, though.
Right.
The people with their responses, most of the majority of stuff we get about the Brewers are negative.
Is this a negative or a positive question? Brewers 25-17 at the quarter mark. Can they keep this up? 414-799-1250 or tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan.
Pretty neutral.
Neutral. Okay.
But, I mean, that's when you said 100 wins, that's straight craziness.
Yeah, they've played about 40 games. They play 162 in a season.
Yeah.
So you take the 40 times 4, and the wins within that 40 times 4. Tell me if my math is wrong, but that's 100 wins.
That's 100
wins. That's the pace that they're on right now.
Wow. Okay, what are the pace the Cubs are on?
Less than that.
I need to get
but they're
the standings
all on pace.
Up.
They're all right there, 98.
The Cubs are a game out.
Right, 98, 99 probably.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh is what, same? Cardinals are probably the same. They're all over 95.
Cubs
Could
are
you
at,
imagine that?
Well, the Cubs have had a bunch of rainouts. They're not even at the quarter mark yet.
Yeah.
But they have 21 wins so far.
Yeah.
My math, you multiply that by 4, that's 84 wins.
Yeah, well, they got to play games.
Right.
What about the Pirates?
Pirates are at 23.
Everybody's close in the top
Cardinals.
4.
Cardinals are at 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's close.
And the Brewers are at?
25.
Yeah. Because we got a dome. Smart people. Good games in.
He yes. sniffed at the dome comment. Yeah. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Feeling awfully good about that dome, aren't you?
Right now, you should be, right? If you're a Brewer fan.
No, I love it.
You, right?
Yeah, I love Miller Park. Yeah.
If you're a Brewer fan, listen.
Absolutely.
I hit you guys up yesterday. What was it? They're averaging 32-9?
I don't think the Twins should have been allowed
per game
to build a stadium without putting a
How
dome on it.
How stupid is that?
I don't think that should have been
Are
allowed by Major League Baseball.
Right?
Stupid. Idiotic.
How stupid is that?
It's
How
really
do you build
stupid.
A brand new stadium in Minnesota with no top on it?
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make.
But the retractable roof. I'm all for baseball under clear blue
right,
skies.
Right.
Beautiful. Love the sunshine.
How did they get that pass?
Put a retractable roof on it. You spent $400 million on it. Spend another $100 million. Put a retractable roof.
How did they get that pass?
I don't know. I don't know if Major League Baseball has any real say.
Probably not. You can't tell
in whether or not a team
money.
Does that. So the question again is this. If you want to actually answer the question, Brewers 25-17 at the quarter mark. Do you think they can keep this up? And we're not necessarily talking about the pace of wins versus losses, but this level of play that they've been at. Because, I mean, you guys tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think anybody, no matter where you started this season at, is thinking the Brewers win 100 games, are we?
No, because
no.
I think I said 85, didn't I?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
84?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, didn't see this. Didn't see this coming at all. I think when you
had him at 88, actually.
Did I have him at 88?
Yes. I had him at 85. I had the lowest win total. in our predictions.
And you really don't have your, you know, there was that stat out the other day where they had 22 starters and 22 pitchers.
They've used 22 pitchers this season.
22 pitchers so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? And this other joker, Peralta, you bring up, he throws out of his mind. Once again, it feels a lot like it felt last year. How, although it seems not so good, but it, everything is still going in their favor.
The results at the end of the day
is
25 wins.
It's going in their
way
favor.
Through the season.
It's going in their favor.
Right.
I mean, you know, we were a little upset about the homestand they just had here. What were they, 2-3?
Yeah.
And then they go on the road and do what?
So far, so good.
Right?
Yeah. 4-5, I want to. Yeah, 4-5.
4-5? Yeah. No.
No, 5-6, I'm sorry. No, they've won 4 out of 5 on this road trip. Three in Colorado and then one last night in Arizona. Yeah. Made me question myself.
And Arizona is a really good baseball team.
First place in the West.
They're no slouch.
Brewers passed them for the second best record in the National League yesterday.
That?
Yeah.
I was listening to the game last night in my garage. And
you're that dude, huh?
Huh?
You're that dude, huh?
Yeah, man. I had a margarita and cigar, and
you're living the life.
My next door neighbor there, Mike. I got a new neighbor.
New neighbor?
Yeah, the Vullings. I think it's V U L L I N G.
Welcome to the show, Vullings.
The Vullings
that you didn't know you'd be a part of.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's a firefighter. And Mike is his name. And I'm thinking about going. I think maybe the Big Show. We should take the Big Show out. He's a firefighter over at.
What do you want? Want to take us out to fight a fireman?
No. They're at the airport, Rummy. I was thinking we take the Big Show and do the Big Show at the fire station out there at the airport.
Oh, he's at the airport fire station.
Yeah.
I'm down.
What do you think, Steve?
I'm down to go entertain some firefighters. They deserve it. Those guys are heroes.
And Rummy, I was thinking maybe we can cook up some stuff. Robert Specialty Meats, you know.
I can do a little stand-up set after the show.
I got a friend of mine that's a firefighter on the north side of Milwaukee. We should go there and do one there, too.
The more the merrier. Yeah. Firefighters, let's do it.
I'd go to any firehouse tour?
Yeah.
I'd go to any firehouse. I'll do a firehouse tour.
I got to get Mike on board now, too, because we've got our... I think we do out there in Oak Creek.
He's got to
be
right there. Children's Hospital.
So we need to get those guys involved. But yeah.
Never too early to start planning. We'll be out there the week after Thanksgiving. Blades Farm and Fleet at Oak Creek, folks.
Yeah, we drop off a toy,
cash donation. Right. You can make your donations.
Never too early.
At 1057FMTheFan.com.
Yeah. So yeah, with my guy Mike Vullings last night. And
you know what?
We were.
I've asked you this question 4 times, and
what?
You. You keep sidetracking,
what's
man.
That?
And now we're due for a break.
What's that? What
so I'll throw it out one more time going into the break. Think long and hard about it.
What?
Brewers 25-17 at the quarter mark. Can they keep it up? Not necessarily the win total, but the level of play that they've been at through 42 games. 4-1-4.
You mean I never got to that?
799-1250, or you could tweet us at 1057FM The Fan. No, you talked about Sparky's hair. You talked about the Vullings and doing a firefighter show. What else did he talk about? There was something else. The difference between a positive and a negative question.
Twins Park, new stadium.
That's all relative, Rami.
Yeah, it's
Did you ever take the test and you got the blue book?
What blue book?
When you were in college and they gave you the essay, the blue book, you had the blue book, you had to write these answers in the blue book.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
That was like, that was phased out literally while I was in college.
Was it really?
Then it became like an email computer thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so we had the blue book. And in college, you had to figure out how to fill up that blue book. Right now?
Now it's a word count. Now they want, like, you know, 250 words
what?
On said subject. Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys got it easy these days, man. You gotta fill up that
it's
whole
still
blue
the same
book.
Thing.
No, nah, man.
It's still the same
long.
Thing.
You remember what we used to do? We should write large. You only get like 2 words on one line. You don't remember that?
Yeah. I do remember doing that. Absolutely. All right. So the Brewers 25-17 at the quarter mark. Can they keep this up? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1057FM The Fan. Gary will answer the question. Sparky will answer the question. I will answer the question, and you will too when the Wendy's Big Show returns right after this.
Saladino to center field. Pollock a long run. Can't get it. It's going to go up the wall. Yelich will score. Saladino rounding third. Eddie Cedar waving him around. Throw to the plate. And safe at home is Saladino. An inside the park home run.
This is a very good baseball team. Tough to beat them. We're at their place. So good start to the series. You know, we did the job.
Highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, Tyler Saladino with the inside the Parker.
You got to be kidding me.
In Arizona last night. Brewers now with that win, 25-17 at the quarter mark. Can they keep this up? Not necessarily the pace of wins, because that would be 100 wins. And if you're expecting that, by all means, dial us up at 414-799-1250. But more this level of play, 414-799-1250, or tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. And the crazy thing about that is, Gary, and this has happened a few times now with the Brewers, Saladino,
right,
and VR weren't supposed to play last night. That right. All happened. All those dominoes fell. Well, right. No, Saladino was in the lineup originally. VR was in the lineup because Braun was out, so they took Perez from second, put him in left field.
Right.
And put VR in the game, and he has a big game.
Go about the game before that.
You look at the game Wade Miley got hurt. He goes down. Brent Suter comes in and hits a 3-run homer.
That's what I'm saying.
That ended up being the difference in the game.
It's the same kind of stuff that happened last year. Oh, let me go get Freddy Peralta. Oh, he just so happened to be, like, over there. Steve said the other day, had he been, like, in Atlanta or somewhere, you know what I mean? You got, oh, he's just right over here. And he's going to, did he strike out like 13 jokers?
13, yes. That was the exact number.
Come on, man. That's the same kind of stuff that was happening to the Brewers last year. That kind of stuff. Stuff. Saladino, are you kidding me?
Wouldn't it be cool if they said that in the press box?
What?
He has struck out 13 jokers.
Peralta exits the game. His final line.
Here's his line.
5 2/3. Struck out 13 jokers. Walk two. Two jokers got hits.
What's up with that, man?
One joker was hit by a pitch.
Right. Good night, everybody.
I would love it if they did that.
Well, that'd be out of the mouth of Gary Olson.
I would love it if they did that. Yeah. You should be the PA announcer at Miller Park. Yeah. So, Gary, can they keep this up?
No.
Okay.
No, they can't. My heart tells me no. I mean, well, just everything about me tells me no. And when I say no, it's the 100-win pace. They're not going to win 100 games. I don't see that. But most certainly what you cannot, you just can't bank on things going your way. I mean, you just can't. Those things, you have no plan for the types of things that are happening to the Brewers right now and that are coming out on a positive, you can't predict that. Just can't. But I don't think they can keep this pace up over 100 games.
No, that's not, and I keep trying to clarify right. that. I'm not okay. necessarily talking about the win total.
Okay.
But they've played at a certain level to get these 25 wins. Some things have bounced their way, like we've talked about a second ago, but I'm just talking about the level of play that's gotten them to this point a quarter of the way through the season, that has them atop the NL Central, okay. that has them a game behind the Braves as the best team in the National League.
And the Braves are rebuilding, I thought. But, okay, level of this play. Yeah, and reason why I would say then, yeah, if you say level of play, yes, they can, because they still don't have all their pieces together. I'm just assuming, and I'm just talking about Jimmy Nelson, just that.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets here, that at least should be another, 12, 15 wins for you?
Depending on what point in the season
right,
he gets here, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and then because he's that good, he raises the level of the play of guys around him. Yeah, they can keep the level of play, they can keep that up. Sure, they've got enough people that can do it, and if they keep plugging and playing guys, and then those guys are doing what they're doing, yeah, absolutely.
So they can keep this up,
yeah.
In your opinion,
but not the 100 wins, though.
And Gary brings up a great point, Sparky. They've had their share of injuries. They started the season with what we think was their best pitcher on the DL, either him or Chase Anderson. And on top of that, they really haven't hit on all cylinders yet this season. I mean, I still don't think we've seen a hot Lorenzo Cain or a hot Christian Yelich.
No, we haven't.
And we know what kind of effect that can have on the rest of the lineup and other guys who have not yet, I think, lived up to their expectations offensively. We haven't even seen this team play their best baseball yet, if you ask me.
Haven't seen Manny Pena, Domingo Santana, Ryan Braun, Orlando Arcia, any of those guys play like they played last year. Travis Shaw, either. He's come on in that Colorado Rockies series. Domingo Santana now has picked it up. Manny Pena starting to hit the ball better, too. So they're all starting to warm up a little bit, still waiting on Braun, but... Yeah, you're right. They haven't had the hitting and the pitching going together, and they've done all of this. Why? Because this bullpen has just been dominant, and if you can continue to have that going forward, why can't they play 7 or 8 games over 500 in each quarter segment for the rest of the season? This is this road trip where we all said, okay, we're going to find out what this Brewers team is made of at the end of this road trip. Well, like you just said, 4 of 5, you're in a position right now to win this series in Arizona, who... Again, they're on a losing skid right now, big time, are the D-backs, but it's Zach Greinke tonight for Arizona. And this is, you know, his old team. We know Greinke can be dominant at times. We know Greinke can give up some runs at times, too. So it's Chacin going for the Brewers. He's pitched really well. You get 2 out of 3 in this D-back series, you're feeling really good about yourself going in with a day off Thursday and then going into Minnesota to take on the Twins before coming back home. You have... What? You're right there with the best record in baseball, right behind Atlanta. Well, not in baseball, but in the National League. Nobody, I think, saw that coming. If I would have told you what the ERAs would have been for the starting rotation, all the different guys that would have been in the starting rotation at this point, and all the guys that have been shuttled up and down from the minor leagues as far as pitchers go, nobody would have thought this team would have been that good right now as we speak. It's just, it truly is amazing. I don't know if they're going to win 100 games. But as Rami points out, they haven't gotten hot yet. They really haven't. And they're going to get hot. They're going to get hot. And Tom Hartricord had a piece today saying, okay, everybody that says they haven't beaten anybody, we can shut up now. And I agree. That's the end of that conversation. But it just shows you that if you beat the bad teams, even when you aren't playing that well, it will all come back and really help you out at the end of the year, even if you do struggle against better teams. Because there are going to be so many games against bad teams. If you sweep guys like they've been sweeping guys that aren't very good, at the end of the year, you're going to look up and go, holy cow, how did they get that many wins? They didn't beat anybody, really. No, but they beat the teams they're supposed to beat. And at the end of the day, that's really what it comes down to. That's all it comes down to. Beat who you're supposed to beat, and then hang in there and play decent against the good teams. And that's all they have to do, and they got a chance to maybe win this division if everybody else in this division can't keep up.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. It sounds like you think 100 wins might be realistic.
Might be.
That they could keep up this win pace. Not just this level of play, but keep up this win pace.
They haven't played over their heads. I don't think anybody can make the statement that they've played over their heads. You agree?
No, definitely not.
No.
Maybe, and it's a big maybe because I have a lot of confidence in those guys. Maybe the bullpen is playing just a little bit over their heads because
they're doing
ridiculous things. Even if they come down to earth
sure.
a little bit, it's a great bullpen.
Right, no question. But the only thing you can say to the Brewers of why this can't keep up is, well, they haven't played a bunch of great teams early, and that's why they are where they are. Okay, fine. But a lot of those teams are going to face a lot more bad teams the rest of the year. This isn't just going to be just the first month and a half of the season.
I answer your question, have they played over their heads? Yes, they have. The guys that they plug and play with have played over their heads.
Like Ooh. The happenstance things like we're talking about, like Saladino and VR finding their way into the lineup last night,
VR
like calling
should,
up Freddie Peralta and getting 13 strikeouts, like Brent Suter coming into a game where Wade Miley gets hurt and hits a 3-run homer and pitches.
Brent Suter hasn't pitched well all year.
Innings.
I mean, you could talk about that one game, sure, but he hasn't pitched all that great this year.
The guys that plug and play are playing over their heads. Maybe not the team. But those are,
I mean, if you look at that lineup, who's playing over their head?
But that's
nobody.
That's like you said. You look at Peralta that just came in the other day.
Look at his minor league numbers.
I don't care about minor league numbers.
I know you don't. But that's how it goes based on if you get called up or not.
I understand that. But, Steve, you're in the big leagues. It's your first outing, and you do that?
Yep. But the Rockies made excuses of why he did that. That it wasn't him. It was all about the Rockies.
Yeah, whatever. But still, I will point to me and Gary Ellison. That's playing over your head.
Oh, as far as 13 strikeouts?
Yeah, that's playing over your head, man.
And you could argue
Somebody said the other day on MLB Radio that a dozen strikeouts now, nobody even blinks an eye anymore in Major League Baseball because of the strikeout
rates. I'm going to blink an eye when you pull that joker up and he comes to the Major League. I'm blinking my eye. Like,
five, six times.
I understand. Because you never see it with the Brewers. Totally understand. You just don't see it a lot. Other teams tend to get that type of guy that comes up at 21, 22. This is another thing Tim Allen's complained about for 15 years. Why can't we ever have a 21 or 22-year-old come up and just be really good and stay in the big leagues as a pitcher? Never happens. The last guy that did it was Gallardo. Giovanni Gallardo was the last guy. You haven't had anybody since then. That's a long time.
That's a damn long time.
Real long time.
But you could make the case that the starting pitching has been over its head.
Nope.
Right? With the expectations we had for it when the season started. No?
Nope.
Who? How?
Who? Davies hasn't pitched all that well. Then he got hurt.
Just the starting rotation as a whole.
No, I'm going through the rotation. Okay. Chase Anderson, he hasn't been the same Chase Anderson as last year.
Right.
That has not been the case.
True.
Chacin started off bad. Now, he's pitched maybe better than what he is the last four or five out. He's got a sub-3 ERA the last four or five. So maybe we'll go with Chacin the last four or five. Suter, no. He's been better in the bullpen than he's been in the starting rotation at this point. Junior Guerra had a nice little start. Then he had a rough stretch. He bounced back last night, which they desperately needed to give that bullpen some help. So he has been up and down at this point. So you can't point at Junior Guerra. So who's that guy that I'm missing? Wade Miley, you thought might have been your lightning in a bottle guy. He made one start, looked like a stud, and then got hurt the next start, and now he's out at 60-day DL. So who, tell me, who in the starting rotation is pitching over their head?
So then we expected,
every game we're hoping they go five to get to the bullpen.
So we expected the rotation to be one of the best in the National League then, when the season started.
I think I expected Chase Anderson and Zach Davies to at least get me six on a somewhat consistent basis.
What was all the strife about needing to go out and get at least one, maybe two frontline pitchers?
Right now they need like four, based on what I've seen.
Based on injuries,
They need more than one. No, based on in general. Davies didn't pitch well before he got hurt.
Oh, well, then
Chase Anderson hasn't pitched the same guy.
Chase Anderson's done.
Rami, I mean, you're getting all upset at me.
I'm not.
But tell me where I'm wrong. Just what have I said that's not right?
My point is, our expectations for the starting rotation as a whole when the season started, they've exceeded those.
No, they were way too high. They're playing way below where we thought they were going to play. I totally disagree. They're way below where I thought they were going to be.
Well, if we all knew that the rotation was going to be this good, we shouldn't
have... It's not good!
The starting rotation has been pretty good when you look at the numbers.
No, you can look whatever you want.
The innings haven't been overwhelming, and they've had to lean on the bullpen quite a bit.
They can't get through five, six innings on a regular basis. That's not a good rotation.
As far as giving up runs, they've been good. They've been holding their own water. And I think there were people who were concerned that this starting rotation couldn't hold its own water.
We can do this as a topic tomorrow. We got to get to Mike Farron.
Yes,
we can do that as a topic tomorrow of who thinks that the starting rotation is playing over expectations.
And later tonight will be the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck show built by Ozinga. 7:30 start time. Get you ready for game two between the Brewers and the D-backs. And after the last pitch, you make the switch to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet baseball post-game show. We do indeed need to break and get to Mike Farron, the host of Power Alley on MLB SiriusXM Radio and pre- and post-game host for D-backs baseball. He's coming up next on the Wendy's Big Show right after this. It's the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and the former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. The Orlando Ledbetter, our old friend, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, now with the Atlanta Journal Constitution. He'll tell us what he knows about Mike Budenholzer, one of two finalists for the Bucks head coaching job when he joins us just after 3 o'clock. Joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he's the host of Power Alley on MLB SiriusXM Radio, also pre- and post-game host for D-backs baseball. It's a pleasure to welcome in Mike Farron. Mike, how are you this afternoon, man?
I'm good, gents. How are you?
We're good. We were trying to figure out, as the Brewers sit with 25 wins at the quarter mark of a 162-game season, if they indeed are this good and if they can keep up this level of play. You got your first up-close look at them yesterday. Are you buying that the Brewers are this good, second-best team in the National League right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a good team. I mean, I don't know if they're going to win 100 games.
Right,
but,
right.
I think there's some things that, like, let's see how they handle this kind of group of pitching injuries they have now. And obviously, Chase Anderson's going to be back on the next homestand, and that'll help. But, you know, they don't really seem to have a set timetable yet for Zach Davies and when he's going to come back. And, they've done a great – I mean, really, since the All-Star break of 16, they've done a great job with their starting pitching. I love their bullpen. I think the top half of their lineup especially is pretty good. I need to see more of them defensively to see where that infield defense sits. I know their outfield defense is great, and I know, defensive runs saved, they've been far and away the best team in baseball. They've been, way ahead of where the D-backs are. So, and the D-backs are second. So, you know, I think it's a good team, and I think they're one that's going to compete in that division for sure. But that's a tight race, you know, really with Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Louis, and you know, I'm not convinced that Pittsburgh's going to keep it up. But that's not a walkover team by any stretch.
What's your thought on lineup construction and so forth? Because the Brewers obviously have Ryan Braun, who hasn't played all that well. He's had a couple clutch hits late in games for him. But overall, on-base percentage way down, average way down. And they continue to bat him .300 when he is in the lineup behind Kane and Yelich. How much longer would you go with him in that .300 hole?
I mean, it's really tough with a legacy player. You know what I mean? Like, that's always the thing is, you know, you've got a declining star. That's a very difficult conversation to have. Say, hey, listen, we think you may not be the player that you were. And I don't know that that's one that you necessarily need to have on May 15th. Now, if you're in a dogfight and it's August 15th, then I think it's probably a good time to have that conversation. But, you know, I think that's where some of the soft science side of it comes into play more so than the strictly analytic bent. And for me, listen, I'm in favor of hit your best five hitters in some order at the top. You know, I don't care if you want your best guy, your best bolt to hit first. Hey, I get it, because you're going to get them the most plate appearances over the course of the game. And I would want my best guy to hit in that spot. So I'm all in on that kind of philosophy, but you do have to have a little bit of touch and feel to it when you decide to make those changes. And I think that's that might be part of what Craig Counsell faces in that is, okay, how much of this is Braun is really declining and how much of it is he's gotten off to a cold start. We still expect him to be, you know, a .280 hitter with a .350 on base percentage and maybe, you know, like a .410 or .420 slugging, because I don't think the power is there anymore. But, you know, if that's the case, then maybe you can live with that player in the three spot a little bit better.
I was listening to you and Jim Duquette earlier this morning talking about Gordon Beckham, who's coming up to play back in the big leagues again. And we all the time, obviously, and you do too, on MLB Radio, get calls in about how everybody thinks they can fix their favorite baseball player. And we've had people calling in saying about, well, Braun needs to redo, you know, his swing because of A, B, and C. And you talked about Beckham coming up and him having redone his swing. At some point, do you think you're too far along in your career to go through that process?
No, I mean, in fact, I think it's, and this is obviously to a lesser degree, but Jeff Mathis, who's with the D-backs, is, what, 35 years old, and obviously, I know Jeff Mathis has not been a very good offensive performer over the course of his career, but he went through a swing change to try and get better. What's funny about that to me is, like, okay, so like, the patient X in a lot of this discussion is J.D. Martinez, right? And there were some guys before him, A.J. Pollock's one of them, who kind of, you know, decided that or went through the talking to guys and realized there was no slug on the ground, right, and you're trying to get the ball in the air. But one of the guys that J.D. Martinez studied was Ryan Braun.
Wow.
How does he, you know, like, when he was going back and looking at video of guys, it was the elite hitters that he was looking at. So I'm not sure that, you know, like, if you're looking at it in terms of what that path is and, you know, what guys were trying to emulate, I think Braun was probably at the forefront of that. You know, the Father Time is still undefeated, right?
You bet.
So what you're dealing with is the decline of a significant player. And that's not to say that Ryan Braun isn't still a productive player or can't be a productive player still. It's just that, you know, you're not going to get the MVP quality seasons out of him at this point because of age. And, you know, and certainly the back issues and, you know, the hand issues that he's had, all of those things factor into it. But I don't know that, you know, I'm not sure that a swing adjustment is what Ryan Braun needs so much as, you know, he may not be on time. And really, that's, you know, when you get to this point in the season, like, it's a watch it with Paul Goldschmidt for the last month plus. I think you see it in Chicago with Anthony Rizzo. I think you see it with, you know, probably with Braun, and I haven't seen enough as a bats to know, but, you know, when your timing is off, you can't hit. And timing is number one. And when you start seeing him get on fastballs, I think everything else will start to kick up.
You know, Mike, how do you feel about the West Division? I think if you keep looking at it deeply, the Dodgers was expected to be that team, and they're struggling like heck out there.
Yeah, so I don't think it's quite as strong a division as it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think overall it's not, and I think a lot of that is, you know, injuries to some of the personnel that's there already. You know, the Giants thought they were going to get better. Really, they got a little different. You know, they brought in some more, again, veteran guys who, you know, certainly aren't producing. They're better than the production that they got last year. But they're still not. You know, Andrew McCutchen isn't Andrew McCutchen anymore. Evan Longoria isn't Evan Longoria anymore. Buster Posey probably isn't really Buster Posey anymore to the same degree. So I think that's part of it. You know, Colorado really pitches well, but it's not a great offensive team, and their lineup is dragged down by, you know, Carlos Gonzalez, whose struggles have gone on for nearly 2 years, and, you know, Ian Desmond, who's not swinging the bat well since signing that contract with Colorado. So, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily a team that's a great team. Obviously, the D-backs have some offensive issues currently that they're trying to work through, and injuries on the pitching side. And I think that's the other thing is, like, all of these teams, and the Dodgers included in this, are dinged up beyond belief, with the exception of Colorado. Now, they've lost LeMahieu, which sounds like it's going to be for a little while. That's a big loss for them as a kind of top-of-the-lineup catalyst. But for the most part, you know, they've been the healthy one out of the bunch. And I think that those injuries, as well as some defections, certainly on Los Angeles' side, you know, and J.D. Martinez signing in Boston, I think the division overall isn't quite to the same level that it was a year ago. And really, I think, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I just don't feel like the National League is great overall.
Right.
I think there's some talented teams, you know. I just don't think, I mean, there's clearly nobody at the level of Houston or the Yankees or the Red Sox. I just think that there's a lot of okay teams in the National League, and we'll kind of see who gets hot and stays the healthiest.
I got to ask you this. How are you enjoying having Zach Greinke on that club?
Well, it's fun to watch him pitch. I mean, he's still a surgeon. And I thought his last outing, you know, against Washington last week was the best that he's had this year. You know, he doesn't touch 94 anymore. He might touch 91, 92, but he puts his fastball where he wants to. He's still got a great changeup. He's still got a great slider. He puts together competitive at bats. It's a lot of fun when he's out there every fifth day. I mean, he's, you know, he continues to get guys out, and you know, he's become more of a strikeout pitcher as he's gotten older. He's used his secondaries, I think, significantly more over the last couple of years, and both that change and that slider are really good. He's worked in the slow curve a lot more this season. It's fun to watch him go out there every fifth day, and you've got a high degree of faith that he's going to give you an outing that keeps runs off the board.
How surprised were you to see Chase Anderson do what he did last year, and do you have your reservations as to whether he can duplicate that consistently in the future?
Well, okay, so I've only been here for, you know, 3 years, so I didn't see Chase up close.
Oh, okay, all right.
I kind of watched him from a distance, and I remember the first time I saw him, I was doing the it used to be called the, I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was the Fall Stars game, the All-Star game in the Arizona Fall League. And I was doing a game with Cliff Floyd, and he started, and we kind of looked at each other after his two innings, and we're like, that guy's got a big league changeup. Like, that's a really good pitch. I think when you add in the velocity that he added last year, you know, it's kind of like the Charlie Morton thing. It's like, okay, well, he's got a really good secondary pitch. You know, Morton with the Astros had a great curveball. All of a sudden, he's throwing 97-99. It's tough to make decisions. And I think that was kind of the case with Chase, is when, you know, instead of going from a guy who was like 91-93 to being a guy who was pumping 94-95, you know, most of the time, I think that really helped to add some separation. And he's always had a decent curveball, and he knows how to pitch. So, you know, I think he's a solid starter. I don't know if he's going to get to that level. To me, one of the best pitchers I saw all of last season was Jimmy Nelson. I mean, I saw his start. I was doing that game in Milwaukee last year when I think he struck out 10 or 11 in seven innings of work and just was burying fastballs in on guys' hands with high velocity and really, really good stuff. And that, to me, is the big loss that the Brewers have. And, you know, it's one that, you know, as much as they want Nelson to be back at some point this summer, I mean, that's a tricky injury to come back from. It's going to be really difficult, I think, to replace him over the course of the summer internally. Anderson kind of has to do what he did last year for that to happen. You know, we'll see when he comes back off the disabled list. I'm assuming that he's going to need to build strength back up, listening to the way David Stearns described his stomach illness, which was probably not something we want to get into.
Probably not, no.
But, like, I think once he regains strength, if you see that velocity, I mean, he has the complementary pitches to be able to be a solid middle-of-the-rotation starter.
That is Mike Farron, host of the Power Rally on MLB SiriusXM Radio and pre- and post-game host for D-backs Baseball. Follow him on Twitter at Mike_Farron and our guest for the last few minutes here on the Wendy's Big Show. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah, guys, no problem. Take care.
Mike Farron joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank, committed to providing uniquely tailored, common-sense mortgage products since 1935.
Well, that's Baconate, baby! Baconate! Have you ever heard of Baconate?
Well, it sounds like something I'd be interested in. I'll tell you that right now.
I know that's true. With six crispy strips of oven-cooked applewood smoke, bacon, and a half a pound of fresh, never frozen beef, only Wendy's Baconator is worthy of having a word to call its own. You don't just eat a Baconator, you Baconate. Is there anything more beautiful in the world? Well, probably, but not when you're craving bacon. Grab one for yourself and Baconate today. And then, of course, you need dessert to go with that, so why not a small Wendy's Frosty for just 50 cents? This cool, unique treat comes in chocolate or vanilla and can be eaten with a spoon, a straw, or even a French fry, or even a piece of bacon, as Rami suggested the other day.
Or just use your cookie as a spoon.
That, too. And they got good cookies there.
Oh, boy.
So make your summer special with a classic Frosty, now just 50 cents each.
It's the Wendy's Big Show. It's talking lineup during the break, as we do. I'm Robbie McLaughlin.
We never agree.
Along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Never will.
And the former Packer and Badger running back, Gary Ellers.
That's one nice thing about football. We don't fight nearly as much in football season.
No.
We really don't.
Those fights are more with Gary and Leroy during the football season.
Right.
That you and I have.
Right.
Not so much with each other.
Right. And I prefer it that way.
You don't like what? What's worse about fighting with me than fighting with Gary and Leroy?
Because I know where
you... Am I more annoying?
No. I don't know what it is. It's a good point. Gary says maybe.
Yeah. Gary just smirked.
Gary fights with you too, so that might be what it is.
I can see that.
Might be.
I can see that.
I don't know if that's it.
Because I keep on interjecting with all these pesky facts and logic and reason.
You don't play fair, Wormy.
I don't play fair.
Nah, you don't play fair.
How do I not play fair?
You were never taught that.
Tell me how I don't play fair.
I know I can't put my hand on it right now. I'll let you know.
You know what?
Once you guys start arguing,
you know what?
There it is.
No, you don't play fair.
No, you don't
because
play
that's the thing that you go to. You'll either speak in broad generalities or you'll do the, you know, I can't put my finger on it. Yeah, that's not fair. I'm precise. I present facts to go along with my opinion. I present a line of reasoning and logic to go along with my argument.
Not
you guys will just go, I test, or I can't put my finger on it, or some BS like
that
just really
have a
means
topic
nothing.
Yesterday where you said you didn't have a reason why. You just
I said I wasn't sure why I don't like gambling around sports, but something doesn't feel right about it. But as
you can't put your finger on
it. But as we hashed it out and we had that discussion, guess what? By the end of that discussion, I had a couple reasons for why we actually got to the bottom of it. We got to my feelings and why I feel that way over the course of that discussion.
That you don't have money to gamble with and you're jealous?
That's part of it. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What else is the other reason?
I forget them.
See? I don't remember any reasons yesterday.
You have money to
I don't remember any at all. No, he doesn't have any entertainment dollars.
Yeah, we
said that before.
We addressed that yesterday, too.
No. Gambling is entertainment.
No,
if
I
it's
really
anything,
don't.
If it's anything more than entertainment, you probably shouldn't
gamble. I guess I can't say I have no entertainment dollars because I do put money towards fantasy football every year, but... Yeah. As Sparky has said in the past, I see that as more of an investment.
If you win consistently, then that's how you can view it.
Which I do. I have, three championships in the last 4 years?
That's good.
Between my two leagues? I'll take that.
Justifies you hosting the
show. I've made far more money than I've spent on fantasy football
over
the course of the time that I've been playing it.
That's a good thing, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's not even.
So you want to get to line up here?
An entertainment dollar. That's an investment. Well, Sparky wants Jonathan VR to lead off every game.
And we weren't going to talk about that in the segment. We were just babbling about it in the break.
I told him that's not going to happen. And he said, because they're stupid. And I said, no, because that's probably not the best thing to do.
And they're on pace to win 100 games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So without the offense.
I don't know what you want when it comes to the Brewers. Like...
Gary doesn't want any criticism of the Brewers until they're under 500. Is that what you're looking for?
Should we turn on the mics and just
pretty much. He disagreed, pretty much.
Everything's great with the Brewers.
That's what he wants.
Next subject.
Right. He just said no criticism until they're under 500. It's like you do to the Packers, who win the division every year with Aaron Rodgers, and we are negative about them, too, throughout the season, trying to figure out how they can win more and how they can be more. Same thing.
No, you
except the Brewers.
How they can win
except
more.
The Brewers aren't this good every year. So when you actually get this good,
they're not there yet.
So tomorrow, all right. So we're going Brewer free till they're under 500.
No, I'm saying,
I'm fine with that.
No,
it's gonna be a long summer on this show.
Saying, they're not
but
there
we can
yet.
Roll that way.
No, they're not there yet. Don't you think?
I'm fine not talking about the Brewers until they're under 500 again.
No, they're not there
because we all know what happens when you do positive things on this show.
Nobody talks.
There's no reaction. But, I mean, nobody cares.
The Brewers are not there yet in terms of do you think they have what it takes to win the World Series on this roster right now?
As Farron pointed out, the NL doesn't appear to be all that good to begin with. So who knows? The Dodgers were supposed to be that team, and the Dodgers are horrible right now. The Nationals were supposed to be that team, and they're chasing the Braves currently. The Cubs were supposed to be that team. They're chasing three other teams in the division.
The Nationals, I think they're done.
Done with what?
Like the run that they had, I think it's...
You might be right. I think you might be right about that.
It's getting old and it's getting stale.
Bad timing for that with Bryce Harper coming up.
It is. It's old and stale. They need to, and I hate to do Steve here, but they need to break that up.
I think that might be part of what's weighing on the Nationals this year. Is there
pressure?
Going, man, we got to, if we want to keep Bryce Harper around here, we got to get this season right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they can.
The future of their franchise is resting
right
on this season.
Yeah.
It's basically the position the Bucks will be in
Better
in a couple of years with Giannis.
Hopefully not.
Unless they can come to some sort of extension before that, but that's basically where they're at. The future of their franchise rests on this season.
Crazy.
In terms of whether or not they'll be able to keep
and
that
And speaking
guy.
Of those Bucks, they're interviewing Mike Budenholzer today, along with Messina, the San Antonio Spurs assistant coach. We'll talk with D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up next. But first, let me tell you about Harry's Razors. That's right, Harry's Razors. I use it. Rami's dad, all of our friends and family, all using Harry's Razors. And you can be amongst the millions of men that are also using Harry's Razors. Why do we all use it? Well, first of all, I love the nice close shave, as does the girl. I love the nice, smooth, comfortable glide I get when I'm shaving in the morning. For a limited time only, new customers can save big on Harry's Shave Set with code SPARKY at harrys.com. Get a quality 5-blade razor, weighted handle, rich foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for $3. Huh?
That's pretty good.
$3. That's all. And if you're still scared off, which you shouldn't be for $3, 100% quality guarantee. Harry stands behind the quality of their products. If you don't love your shave, let them know, and they'll give you a full refund. And don't confuse Harry's for the other online brands that force you to subscribe. Harry's lets you resupply however you want. Auto refills are an option, but you can also buy one-offs, a la carte style. There's no reason not to make the switch to Harry's Razors. Once you go Harry's, you won't go back. For a limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of The Big Show. New customers get $5 off a shave set from Harry's with code SPARKY at harrys.com. That's SPARKY, S-P-A-R-K-Y. That means you can get a trial set that comes with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 and free shipping when you use code SPARKY at harrys.com. Join the millions of guys who've already switched. Go to harrys.com right now. Use code SPARKY at checkout to claim your offer.
Like Sparky said, D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He'll give us his thoughts on Mike Budenholzer when the Wendy's Big Show returns right after this.
Next, this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.